You're listening to Big Wigs. The bigger the wig,
the bigger the personality. Ooh, stunning.
Hey, Tom.
Miranda? Oh, I thought I saw Miranda.
Look at that, babe. It's Big Wigs.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Look at Big Ribs and Big Wigs.
Happy Thursday, Big Wigs, and a happy 30th episode. We're celebrating. We are in the His House, Anna. We're celebrating episode 30.
God, woo! Happy 30th. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Happy 30th.
It's Dre's 29th. You're not even as old as our podcast. And we're 30.
My God, the podcast is getting so old. Oh, my God.
We're so old. It's so old.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great celebrating our 30th. I actually thought we were on episode 29. So news to me that this is our anniversary, our 30th anniversary. I had no idea.
It's very exciting. Honestly, my brain is not on my head anymore, so it could be episode 29 and we just like have a double somewhere. Like, honestly, it could be. But when I looked yesterday, I was like, oh, it's 30. We should do something really, really special. You know, it's 30. And also your birthday. That was no joke. Your birthday was this past week.
My birthday was. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Should I admit to them how terrible of a friend and partner I am?
Absolutely not, because I did not make it a big thing. You would have known if I had said it on the last episode, but you know what? I don't even think about it. You like 100%, I'm being so honest. I didn't expect you to know. You know how we used to use Facebook to tell everybody's birthdays?
Yes.
You'd be like, oh shit, when's my best friend's birthday? Because it's too... Now I have a calendar like a grandma. I have a paper calendar of birthdays to remember, because Facebook, nobody uses Facebook like that anymore.
I know. Well, I still sign on and I check. Like, I check on Facebook. Oh. Like, if I'm like, I know someone's birthday's around here. Oh my God, let me see. I don't even think we're Facebook friends, because we were friends, which is so funny because that's where we went viral, apparently, on BuzzFeed. That was our home base, was Facebook.
Was the Facebook views, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, but I remember, you guys, you'll love this. So Dre's birthday was the 13th, which I'll never forget for the rest of my fucking life. Okay. It's in my brain. It's like my mom is December 7th and Andrea's August 13th. It's just those are the two. Jared's March 23rd. He always tests me. He thinks I forget every year. He's like, well, when's my birthday? I'm like, and then like if I know his phone number, he's even more impressed. It's like
wow.
It's so weird. I know.
Phone numbers.
So anyway.
Maybe he likes you to be like a numerical. He enjoys that you would know the numbers.
Maybe.
You've got one of those magic minds like Rain Man.
Oh my God. I'm an excellent driver. Anyway, that's the line from Rain Man. For those of you who don't know references from the 1980s. No. Wait, I was going to say to you, so your birthday, August 13th was what? Sunday? Was your birthday on Sunday?
It was a Sunday this year. And I'm not really celebrating it until the 26th, because that's when I plan my birthday party. So to
unlike me,
I was
still celebrating June 15th.
As you should, because I didn't give you your present until August 6th.
Still felt great. And you guys saw it live. Did a little unboxing live. It was amazing. Wait, so your birthday was Sunday the 13th. I'm sorry, but Sundays shouldn't let birthdays happen on a Sunday. I'm so sorry to the world, but I feel like that should just be like a rule, you know?
Yeah, for Halloween too. You can't have Halloween on a Sunday.
Yeah. And then I wake up Monday and I must have seen something on your social media or something. Maybe like I saw you like toast, like you had like a cocktail. You were like out celebrate. And I saw something and I was like, oh my God, wait, is it her birthday today or did I miss it? And then I text you and I go, wait, is your birthday today? Like not even happy birthday. I didn't even try. You know what I mean? You know, and a friend is like, happy birthday. And you're like, oh, thank you. It's like in 4 days, but so sweet of you to try. I didn't even try. I just go, is it your birthday?
Here's
like yesterday. My heart, when I tell you my heart fell to the floor.
Anna.
Right. This is a new moment in our relationship. I was like, I'm officially the worst person ever. I can't believe it.
No, there are multiple factors that went into this. First, I felt sneaky because I wasn't posting about it because we went to I had Nick's friend's wedding. So that took precedent, right? I had an LA job. I flew to LA. Then I went back to Chicago for the wedding. So I knew I was celebrating my birthday way later. And then Nick posted one thing about my birthday. So I reposted it. I'm not really doing the whole birthday reposting thing because I don't want people. It's too much. You know, it's too much. So I was
you better fucking
sneaky
repost.
About it.
I spent like a half hour trying to find those photos. I was like, she better post this. No.
But I did. And I did because I love a collage. You know,
it's
us
a good
with, a, with a good collage, right?
It was a good collage, yeah.
So okay. I absolutely loved that. And the second thing is, you were going through so much personally and emotionally that I did not even want to tell you. I didn't want to expect anything. True, I'm being so honest. So that's really what it was. And okay, this year,
I'm
just
also a human, okay? And I can put things aside and celebrate your fucking birthday, you know? I was like, oh my God, like, we need to go out. We need a date. I know you have the 26th. I don't know where in the world I will be on the 26th, but we do need a Big Wigs birthday party. You know what I mean? Like, for sure.
I am so down. You know me. Tell me where to be and I will be there 15 minutes late, but tell me 30 minutes before it starts. I'll be there early, so... Yeah, no, it was fun. It was very much celebrated. Oh, producer Mike's on the 30th.
Your birthday's August the 30th?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my God.
Oh
wow,
my God.
Listen to him chiming in. He's like, just so you guys know, just so you guys also know, does that make you a Leo? Are we in Leo season?
I'm a
Actually,
Virgo.
You're a Virgo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what that means, but I know we're in Leo season. And can I tell you one thing that, Dre, don't hang up. Okay. This is a lot. We are okay. Recording the podcast, but just so you know, tonight is a new moon.
Here we go. What is this one called?
I don't know that there's a name, but it's a new moon tonight, which means we got new energy, which means honestly, anything can happen. You know, it's like starting from zero. It's like New Year's Eve. It's like the birth of a new life today because we got a new moon on our hands. So I just want you to know my entire life is relying on this new moon to bring me good energy this month. So whether or not you poo-poo it, I need this fucking good juju, okay? It's been a bad 3 weeks.
I only poo-pooed the fact that you knew the distinction between blue and sturgeon moon. That was really when I walked out.
I loved it.
What the fuck is she talking about with the new moons? So, all right. I will acknowledge the new moon. I will. I'll give it a fair pass.
That. But thank you. Thank you so much.
If our birthdays are in whatever it means, like, does it mean if it's a new moon that now there's just a new cycle of everybody's birthday in Leo season? Does that have anything to do with the moons? Like what astrological sign it is and the moon cycles?
I think everyone relates to it differently, but I think it's good Leos. I think this is like your time to shine. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's
great.
Tis the season now, you know, now you get like your fresh launch into the world. So just embrace it, love it, enjoy it. You know, what'd you
fresh
do for the birthday
start.
Though? Because you went out, you had photos, you did something, right?
We had Nick's close grade school friend's wedding on Saturday night. So after the wedding, we just found this random club we went to, and that was fun because I just danced and had a good time. And I was like, it technically is my birthday, blah, blah, blah. And then the following day, the Smigs family, we made a yummy dinner together, had some lemon drop martinis. It was very fun. Of course, my mom was calling me like, I'm not with you on your birthday. You're with Nick's family. And I was like, it's okay. Oh, I'm going to see you guys. So the 26th, wait for all the photos. All the birthday stuff will come the 26th because I'm doing a Island Barbie birthday in Ocean City, Maryland. So that's my actual birthday party.
I really want to go.
If you could somehow finagle away and get your ass to Ocean City, Maryland, that'd be amazing. But it is kind of a long way for some people. And that's why I was like, no pressure. This is why I never celebrate my birthday in August because nobody even comes. So then I say, we'll celebrate it in September. And then I never do anything. So this year I said, come if you can. If you can't, no problem. But 26th, okay,
well, either
Ocean
way,
City,
we're going to have a birthday party. We're going to celebrate. We're going to go out.
Yes, 100%. Whenever you're back on the East Coast right now, because right now you're in LA, right?
Yeah, I'm in LA. I'll be back on Saturday, but TBD on like my dates right now. Every day is a mystery, honestly.
Every day is a mystery.
I know. And you know what? I'm really bad at time zones. Can I just say that? Are you guys bad at time zones? Like everybody's
it's so
listening.
Confusing.
You know, everyone, like I'm scheduled. I'm, you know, you're in one place. I was on the East Coast and I was like, okay, we'll meet at 11. We'll do this. And then I come here and I'm literally like my counting on my fingers. I'm like 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2. Like I act like I'm like 4 years old and I don't know what time zone I'm in.
Because it's insane. You've gone to multiple time zones every other week and you got to remember where you are. And then it's like 3 hours ahead or 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
Gets confusing.
Yeah. It's a little confusing. Yeah. I'm such a baby. Wait, there was something
it
I wanted to
confusing.
Ask you. Your birthday. And now my brain is blank. Oh, I just wanted to say we went out after we recorded last week and we had a wonderful dinner together. And I was like, oh my God, we could have made that like a whole birthday shebang. And I didn't even think of it then. So we have to have another meal. That's it.
Well, oh, damn. You know what I would love to do is go to the Mermaid Bar because they have that hot and spicy martini.
Who told you about that?
The Mermaid Oyster Bar. Well, once I posted it, you go, Dre, that's my favorite drink.
Hot and dirty, honey. Hot and dirty. That's a good big wig bite. I'm going to call this. Can we do a segment right now? Can we do a little big wig bite?
Let's do a big wig bite. I just remembered a really good meal I had. So, yes, I forgot it when we were doing prep. I've got one. Go ahead.
We're taking those big wig bites.
Okay, gorgeous. I just love using the sound. You know what I mean? It just feels fancy. Wait, I want to hear about your meal for your Big Wig Bites. Tell me
Big
your
Wig
meal.
Bites. It just occurred in Chicago. We were wanted to get brunch because we were stayed in the downtown for the wedding. So the next morning we woke up and went to go get brunch at this place called.
I just thought of mine while you were saying it. Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. I was like, does she know these people? Keep going. I saw all the posts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Pizza Paradiso, which is, it looks very European. It's right on the Chicago River. Amazing views. It has those French doors that open out to the water. So it's just great. We had a delicious charred pepperoni pizza with the delicious pepperonis that are just perfectly crunchy. It was so good. It's got the Mike's honey if you want on the side. We did a little bit of the hot jarred just as a topping. Chef's kiss. And then I believe I got a blood orange, not limoncello, but blood orange Aperol spritz.
Fancy.
It was very, very delish. And that's my big wig bite.
What's it called again? Because you gave them a nice shout out.
And now I'm second
all
guessing
that blood
if it
orange
was
Aperol.
All that, like, but
hold on. The pizza looked great.
Sure, because
I have a question about this bite. Was it a Chicago pizza? Are you going against your religion of being in New York by eating Chicago pizza and raving about it?
Mm-hmm. I have one Chicago slice, which was from Pizza Boy, which is in Edison Park in Chicago. That is a phenomenal Chicago slice. Like, actually one of the best slices I've ever had in my life. And then this other place on the water was just a thin crust.
Got it. So it was like a higher end kind of pizza experience.
Yes, I would say. I just can't believe that I can't remember what that other pizza place was, but I'll get you guys the name. So Anna, you go and I'll remember this because I tagged them.
My big wig bite. And honestly, if you're in New York City, also, I think a hack for those in New York City this summer is I went to the city this past weekend just to have a little bit of a normal life. Because as you guys know, I've been sleeping at my parents' house, which is lovely. But, you know, it's a Murphy bed and they live in a loft. So it's close quarters. You know what I mean? If you fart, if you sneeze, if you tiptoe down the hall, I mean, everybody hears everything anyone does in this apartment. So it's hard to be there. It's nice to be there, but I'm like saying it as if my parents listen to this podcast. I don't think they've ever fucking listened to any podcast I've ever done in my entire life. That was such a Chris laugh. Ah, sometimes I hear it come out and I'm like, stop laughing like Chris Jenner. So, okay.
You identified it though. Yeah.
Yeah, we were in the city and we went to go see a show on Saturday night. We saw Kimberly Akimbo. We can talk Broadway after because we both saw Broadway. And, you know, we were staying in the West Village. And so we were like, let's just go somewhere good in the West Village. We have to go early. And when you have to go early, especially in the summer in the city, people aren't in the city. You know, there's a lot of tourists visiting New York City in the summer, but New Yorkers aren't in the city as much. You know, they leave the city. They flee. They go to the Hamptons. They go to the shore, whatever. And so we put our name in the two of the top Italian restaurants in the West Village, which are La Artusi and Via Carota. I think they're owned by the same company, actually, with E. Sodi.
It's insane.
The three of them are the bomb. And we got in to Via Carota, which I'd been once years and years ago. And it's just so good. And we sat outside, you know, under scaffolding, but that's romantic in New York City. And
isn't it crazy that, like, you truly are but they make it so pretty with vines. They really make lemonade out of lemons because you're under full-on scaffolding. They didn't have flowers?
I don't know if there was a... I don't know. I felt like I was really just under scaffolding. But we had one of the best meals I've had in so long. Can I just tell you, like, We had a really good melon and prosciutto. Like, it was just, when it's good, you don't need anything else on it. You know, you don't need olive oil. You don't need the, you know, balsamic or burrata or any of that shit. If you have good melon and good prosciutto, that's all you need. So we had that. And then we had like an heirloom tomato and like cucumber and onion salad. And then we got the grilled octopus, which I fucking love a grilled octopus.
Give it a charred.
Girl, just a charred octopus, you know, like a little crunch on the tentacle, but it's like meaty and I'm like drooling talking about this. And I know she likes what I like, so I know that this is turning you on as well. Like your stomach is like, wait, what? And then honestly, I'm not, when I go to an Italian restaurant, cacio e pepe is not my first to order. You know what I mean? It's, if we're getting multiple pastas, yes, we throw in a cacio e pepe. But I'm a tomato like base, or even like a clam, you know, pasta like first.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I usually pick a bolognese or a tomato based sauce, but we picked the cacio e pepe and it was the best cacio e pepe I've ever had in my life. I'm not even kidding. I liked it more than every place I fucking ate in Rome.
Shut up. What?
I'm not kidding. The Via Carota cacio e pepe, I will hands down put as my number one thing I ate this past week. So that was my biggest wig bite. But
wow, when it's done right, it's perfection. Did it come in a white with the gold embroidered glass? Like what was it? What was the presentation for this cacio? Because I feel like that goes into it too.
It was just in a bowl, a white bowl. It was very basic, you know? A very basic bowl. I don't remember anything else.
You know what? When the pasta's good, you don't need to try to make up with any of the accoutrement for the bowl. Yeah, you don't have to do that.
We like licked it clean. We were like, wow. I was like, is there chicken broth? I couldn't tell you what was in it, but it was so fucking good.
That's huge. That's a huge big wig bite. Because I've even as chewy as this sounds, we're going. That's easily where we're going. But the Italy cacio, I think, is very good. Even Italy. Like, I know how that can be just so consumerism.
Chug,
like
you said it.
True, yeah. But to me, I really do think that that's a really good dish there. But hey,
If
it beats that, then that's, I'm going. We got to go. I don't know if we're going to get a reservation until 2024, but we're going.
No, we'll go. We'll go early and literally early, put your name in, sit outside. Perfect. Easy. There's another place I want to go. I want to go to I don't know how you say it, Roscioli or Roscioli. But they're in Italy. I think I've recommended it to everyone who's ever gone since I went like a year ago, but it's so fucking good in Italy. And they opened in New York, but they're only doing like a $100 prefix menu in the basement right now while they're still like opening. And it's like a very she experience. And, I really want to go there. So, maybe we'll have to do that. I think we're going to have some big wig bites, some videos in our future. I'm sensing a theme here. You know, we could talk for 17 minutes in. I'm like, I need fucking food. Are you kidding? I'm starving after this.
I know. I was just thinking that I needed to go to the store. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll cook tonight. You know what? Shit.
I'm meeting a friend for dinner tonight. I'm not cooking. But anyway,
that would be nice.
We got to talk. We got to talk a little Broadway. You saw Broadway yesterday. She's like, I know I don't see Broadway, but it was so good. And I was like, girl, you're in New York. See Broadway as much as you can.
In my 29th year of life, I decided I'm going to just make the best of living in New York. And I really am going to try to do and see more shows, whether that means Broadway shows or if somebody's doing a comedy show. I know Michelle Collins is doing a show. Shout out at Joe's Pub. I was like, you know what? Just book it. I want to do it. It inspires me because I really was feeling, after my 29th year, I've just been feeling kind of with social. Like, sometimes that we get money.
I wouldn't know, you know, I'm only 26.
Anna, you'll get there eventually. I promise you. I was at not a standstill, but sometimes I don't feel like my stuff is funny anymore or like the things that I used to enjoy, I'm not enjoying as much like making the videos. And then, you know what? You go to see one show and your girl is back, Anna. I felt inspired. I was like, these people are stars. These people are creative. And I was like, you know what? We are too. Sometimes I just lose hope, you know? It happens.
I think we also, you know what's interesting when you say that? I'm like, I think we sometimes pigeonhole ourselves into doing one thing. And then if you see something that's out of your, you know, comfort zone or something, like a play on Broadway or a musical or whatever, even going to a concert and seeing someone up there on stage fucking doing their thing, you remember, you're like, oh my God, I can do other things that I feel inspire me or I feel like, you know, I can do. Like a lot of people don't know I made soups and I cook and I'm like, no, that's like a huge part of me. actually, mm-hmm. because they, you know, they're like, you'll post something different or new or something, right? And you get this. And your followers who love you through and through, and they should stick by you no matter what you post, they'll be like, it's true. I like it. Post Hilaria. Okay, fine. But when's your next Hilaria? You know, they'll yeah. say shit like that. I'm sure you get it. They're like, we want Teresa. And you're like, I'm trying to do something different, guys.
Yes.
I don't know. So I think that's that we put ourselves in that category where we're just like, I don't know if I, they're not going to like it. I don't know. And then you don't know. Like,
Totally. And there's so many, there are so many avenues in this creative world. You can do the stage and impressions, acting, commercials. Like there is so much to do, but sometimes I'm overwhelmed. And sometimes it feels like I have to prove myself on social that I'm actually working. You know, when you're doing a show and we just see all these really successful people and they always seem like they're busy. And so anyways, I was ready to hang up my wig and go into like home restoration. I was about to do flipping houses because I love that type of stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with the industry. And this was just a crazy
thought. Honestly, I could see you like decorating houses. You're very into like the aesthetic of a home. And because I'm so impressed. I'm like, look at my empty, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, look at my bare ass wall. Dre would not let this happen after living in a place for a year.
You've got great style. Also, if you're a nomad and you're bi-coastal, yeah, I don't expect you to have an architectural digest living room at all. Thanks. I just think.
Not yet,
at least.
Yeah.
You'll have a designer. But yeah, I was ready to just quit acting and just, you know, decide to do something else. But anyways, I saw the show, The Cottage, on Broadway. I'm trying to bring it back because I'm a space cadet. And it was Jason Alexander's directorial debut. You actually are familiar with the name. How did you find out about the show?
Because I know all the shows and I know that and what's his face? Erin McCormick is starring in it. And I was so excited because I'm a diehard Will and Grace fan. I wrote my final in college.
About Will and Grace?
Yeah, of course. And the impact on the LGBTQ community and like culture.
And I'm sorry. Wow. I would love to read this.
I don't know where it is, but yeah. I love Eric McCormick. I love that whole cast is a really good cast. And if you know me, you know that when I go to New York City, I don't leave until I see a Broadway show. I see a show every time I'm in the city. And I am also your girl. If you need any ways to figure out how to get cheap tickets, like literally used to see a show every week. For cheap, like when I was living in like a fucking sixth floor walk up. Like I just, you know.
What I realized about New York is Broadway is such an important part of New York as a whole. And so if you're living in New York, you got to take advantage because there's so much to say. It's
so
crazy.
So much. And I didn't realize, I mean, I did realize it's such an important part of my life to see theater. Like I'm still sad because we were supposed to be in London last week and we have show tickets that we just randomly rescheduled for a rando date in the fall, which I'm
hoping
probably
going
to have to
there.
Reschedule again. But I've been seeing all the shows that come to LA too, because I'm like, oh my God, that's a huge part of my life. I didn't realize I needed that so hard. And I finally got a little connection with the Broadway people who schedule LA, and I got invited to a premiere of Les Mis, and I was in the East Coast, and I was like, oh my God, here I am on the East Coast when I got invited to the Broadway premiere of the touring company of Les Mis in LA. Anyway, I digress.
That would have been so special though.
Wait, so was the show really funny? Because I want to see The Cottage. It was on my list of like shows I would want to go.
100% go back with you. It was so, so funny. It was all set on one stage and it was the inside of a cottage. It was so great. It was about extramarital affairs and super, super funny old English. And everybody was so funny and sexual, like in terms of they just really used their... It was just great. And it was just, it's so impressive how they all, it was so fast. The comedy was so quick. Their lines were like right on top of each other. It was definitely a farce. And now I like left and I took Nick with me and we were like, oh my God. Oh, darling. I really just do love you so much. Like that's how we were talking the whole night because it's so fun to do. But my favorite, Laura Bell Bundy, who is Legally Blonde, played Elle Woods. I nearly flipped to shit when I saw her name. She was absolutely incredible.
She's great.
So
I love
she
her.
She's so talented. And I was just reading everybody's bio, Eric McCormick, and then one of the old cast members from SNL, Moffat. I never know how to say his last
Alex
name. Alex Moffat. Yes.
Moffat. Yeah.
Moffat.
He's funny. I like him.
Don't know. Oh, Anna, he was so, so great in it. And I went to their Instagram because I was posting a bunch of stuff and it wasn't paid at all. It was just a comp ticket, but I was so impressed and I was so go back with you. It was just... It inspired me to just like stage is so fun because like the audience was laughing at some things and not the others. And I was watching their Instagrams and Laura was explaining how every show is different. And so true
every show.
Because you never know who's going to laugh at what things are going to happen on stage. Like there's a small mess up, but somebody then does like an ad lib. And
I miss doing theater.
What a production.
I think I miss it. I think I'm going to get into it more as I get older. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm going to come star on Broadway as Roxy Hart one day when they're like, we have an opening. You want to come? And because I played Roxy Hart, not to brag, but I did in high school. I mean, not in high school, in college. But
I was going to say you left out that detail in your show at Joe's Pub.
That I was Roxy Hart. No, I got good roles in college. I started doing good roles. Those were the camp roles. I talked about how shitty all the roles I got at camp were in my show.
It's so good.
Wait, I really, you just made me want to, you influenced me. I want to go see it. I really do. I entered all the lotteries this weekend and I actually lucked out this past weekend. We got to see Kimberly Akimbo, which won Best Musical 2023. So I was so excited because, you know, I love seeing, you got to see the best musical. I think I've seen the best musical every year since like 1997. Like I really do my work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was fabulous. It was really great. And half of them won and it was super funny. It was like funny, even though it's a sad story. I don't know if you know what the story is. It's kind of like, it's kind of like, did you ever see the movie Jack with Robin Williams where he like gets, he grows too old too fast? Like he's like a kid, but he's like an adult body. You know what I mean? Where he gets, it's like,
I never saw that movie.
Jack. It's a sad movie. Well, this is about a girl in New Jersey who has this disease where she ages beyond like four times
so
fast as the normal human. So she's like, looks like, you know, an 80 year old person or whatever. And she's like in high school and it's done so well. And it's the music. Janine Tesori did the music, who also did the music for Fun Home, which won Best Musical a couple of years ago. And it's just like a heartfelt, like nice. It's really good. I think you'd like it. I think it was like, I don't know. I liked it. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know too much about it, which I always like going into a show blindly. And, you know, I never listened to music beforehand when I see a musical. I loved it. Kimberly Akimbo, you know, check out the lottery. That's one of my hacks. Go play the lottery. You get great seats for all the lottery tickets, too.
Drop the name for the app if there is one, unless you already
did. Today Ticks. I think Kimberly Akimbo's on Today Ticks. Basically, though, if you really want the tea, go to playbill.com, which is the site, and you can see a list of all the Broadway shows and you can see what are their like lottery rush policies. And each of them has like a different website that they're affiliated with. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they have like Telecharge does lotteries. There's one called BroadwayDirect.com does lotteries. TodayTicks does lotteries. So each show, it's kind of like, you know, you're associated with one place. They're not going to be on multiple ones. So if Kimberly Akimbo is on Today Ticks, it's not going to be on Telecharge. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
Basically you can go if there's a certain show you want to see, and you know, and also you can go to the box office like as soon as they open. A lot of those shows will have like, you know, they'll have, what was I going to say? Oh, like policies where you go when it opens. They'll have like a line. I mean, back in the day, I used to wait online. I would go to Times Square every fucking week and wait outside the box office because we didn't have apps.
Listen, that was the old way.
We didn't have apps. We just would go on our 2 feet and we'd show up and we'd say, hey, do you have a cheap ticket for a young girl like me? And yeah, it's crazy. And so that's all I got to say. Check out the lottery policies. I feel like this is a great time to take a quick break, right?
I feel like I was just going to say I need to go grab a glass of water.
Intermission. We're back. Please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Please take your seats. We're overwhelmed, you guys. It's episode 30. And let me tell you, some weeks we're like, wow, there's really no news. You know, oh, look, a plane, you know, blew up in the ocean. Like,
I know.
There's like, and this week we had tons of pop culture news that we're overwhelmed by it. Right. Wouldn't you say you're a little beaten down by all the entertainment.
Beaten
news.
Down. They're developing stories too. So every day there's new updates on these stories. And it got to the Raquel and the Sandoval of it all has been developing over the past course months now. It's like,
forever.
Are we tired of the story? Do you want to get into the bombshell interview that Bethany Frankel did with it's no longer Raquel, guys. It's Rachel. Okay. So hang up the Raquel hats.
I'm going to still call her Raquel/Rachel because I feel like
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard. But we got to give them the tea. We got to give them the news, because my friend Blair, just shout out to Blair. She actually said that she gets her entertainment news now from us on Big Wigs. So I'm like, I love that.
Well, girl, wonderful. We're behind. Because, you know, I've been following a lot of these gossip IG accounts, and the way that they are on it all the time, I don't think they sleep. I know. It's like, I want to post about it, but I also feel like I have no idea who knows what of what gossip. And also, I don't consider myself a IG celeb news account, but that is funny. If we're providing the news, we got to be on it then.
We're on it. We're on it. So today we got to talk about this. So you brought up Raquel. I'm sorry. Are we going to call her Rachel of Vanderpump? The Sandoval of it all. She's back. She did an interview on Bethany Frankel's podcast. This is like her first interview since the reunions, right?
This is her first time speaking out. Yes, it is. And yeah,
there's a lot to say. I don't know. Is there something specific you want to start with? Because there was a lot.
It is an interesting choice, I will say. I thought that Bethany's people had reached out to Rachel. No. It was the other way around. Rachel actually reached out to Bethany and was like, you know what? I've been watching your TikToks. Who hasn't been watching Bethany? Jesus, Mary and Joe. Who I'm has not to believe seen Bethany's TikToks?
I was going to say, I'm starting to believe Bethany is a robot. And
yeah.
And I don't think, like, or she has a body double that, like, makes half of these videos, because it's literally every day.
It's every day. It's in the car. It's in airplanes. It's in her beauty room. I'm like, everywhere. I don't take my phone out at times when I really want to, because I'm in a restaurant or I'm in a car and the Uber driver. I'm like, I don't want to disturb these people. Bethany don't give a rat's ass where she is, who she's going to disrupt. She's like, I'm out here and I need to tell you guys the freaking like, oh my God. Like, she's always has to announce whatever is happening. It's crazy. But apparently Rachel has been watching her TikToks, fully respects Bethany. She thinks that she is a force to be reckoned with. And so she wanted Bethany to be the place where she tells her story, which I just thought was insane, considering Bethany has never really watched VPR. And
she said that too. She said that on the podcast. I've never watched. Here's what I gather from what I've seen posted on social media or like clips of you. That's where I thought it got a little hazy. That's where I thought this was not choreographed so well. Like, I like Bethany. I think, you know, she's entertaining. I think she's funny. I think she does have a knowledge of being a reality TV star, you know, like, who then turned her fame into a real business. But I felt like this drama with Sandoval, especially having not watched it, it's like, how did either party, either team, think this would be like the ultimate way to showcase Rachel coming out, since, you know, all this happened? Because it was dramatic, right? I don't even know. I don't know.
I find it calculating. Once I realized that Bethany started asking questions about exploitation, and now Bethany is doing the reality TV. I was like, you know what? This is actually the perfect person for her to interview right now, because she can totally drive the conversation towards that. So I thought it was actually very smart.
It's a PR
on both
move.
Ends. It's a PR move. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I did also, here's where I think it took a turn for me, at least, because Bethany didn't watch it. And that's fine, right? I didn't watch Vanderpump Rules, but I watched the reunions because I was curious, because everyone's talking about Sandoval. You know, I think to Bethany, who didn't watch it, like the way she was talking to Rachel, I don't even know, is almost like she is now the victim. We feel bad for her because she's pretty and she cries and she looks like a little, you know, pretty little Bambi. That's what they call her, right? They call her like Bambi eye. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a pretty girl who, you know, and when you see a pretty girl crying, I guess you're going to feel bad for them, of course. But I felt like, you know, I don't know. She kind of made it seem like, okay, so you cheated. Like, why are we making this such a big deal? Like, as if cheating is okay. Like, almost like apologetic in a way. It was a little weird, because I do feel like, you know, these reality shows, they want that, right? They want that. Yeah. I don't believe she was forced to cheat, like forced to hook up with Tom Sandoval by producers or anything. I think that was a natural thing that for sure happened. But I also feel like so much of it, we don't know that, like, the audience influences like how intense this should be, because we don't know what, when they turn the cameras off and they go home at the end of the day, are they even like Do they even text each other? Like, we literally, we have no idea what happens. And I think that's with any fucking reality show. And so I think it was like a little, I don't know. I think Bethany steered it almost in a way where, as yeah. she probably was, you know, had to do if they reached out to her. Now that you said that, I'm like, oh, well, this makes more sense. I don't know if I'm making sense here, but.
No, you totally are. It is such a different viewpoint that we get to see versus what actually goes down. And that was another bombshell that she revealed. Rachel, she said that she really isn't close with Ariana. Ariana and her were acquaintances on the show. And then when they go home, she doesn't text her like she's her best friend. So what she did was wrong, cheating, being the mistress, basically, of right. Tom.
In between them, yeah.
But she was honest and said, look, I'm not actually not really close with Ariana. So like, I didn't feel like I was hurting my best friend. And another interesting thing she said was the producers, before the season started, told me that however big of a stink you make on this season, the more we pay you. So she thought, okay, I'm single for the first time. I'm going to do something really, really big. She probably didn't have that in her mind. Like, oh, I'm going to like break up the longest running relationship on the show. That probably wasn't in her mind. But I think that she was pushed by the producers to do something mm-hmm. big. And so she did. And I think she was just totally ripped a new one because the producers at the end of the day don't give a shit about these yeah. people. They want good TV and that is their job. So they did a good job at that.
Which does tie into the whole Bethany thing, because if there was a union, if you were protected by a certain, you know, there are minimums that SAG will pay you for like a day rate or for this or that. If you're, yeah. if you know what you're making on it, you might not necessarily make, but then again, then you might not make those kinds of crazy moves. And that's what reality TV wants, you know, like
exactly.
Vanderpump Rules is that is a household name this year because, I mean, it is to a lot of people, but like to those yeah. who don't even watch reality TV now, they know because of Sandoval. You could say Sandoval mm-hmm. and someone, maybe my dad
and everybody
might
would,
have an yeah. idea.
They won't. Yeah. yeah. It's so true. It is one of those buzzwords. Like it became a buzzword of 2023, like for sure. But another key word that she mentioned was X. I didn't actually listen to the podcast. So I'll say that I've just been looking at all these IG accounts that are doing recaps. Kudos to
I've
them.
I've seen clips like, of it. I don't know. I've seen clips of it. Bethany cried. I've seen clips. That was, and I'm like,
did you think that was kind of crazy? Because I was like, what the? She's getting emotional about a show that she'd never seen. But I think maybe she was crying for Ariana's standpoint, just about being exploited by the reality TV industry.
Was I think that? She also, I think if you don't watch this show and you see on paper, she was handed a printout of the lines yeah. that they all, the, you know, the mean things they yes. all said to Rachel or Raquel on the show. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but once I go Ilaria, it's like, I can't go back Raquel. Like, why would I go back to Rachel? Okay.
yeah.
No, but seriously, when you read those things out of context, yeah, they sound terrible. They're so mean.
Horrendous.
They were very harsh on the show, but I also yeah. think like, and I do think that part of this is like, I'm sorry to say it, and it sucks ass, but she's a woman, you know? Tom yeah. Sandoval is a guy. He can get away with this kind of shit and like move on with his fucking life. Like women get beat up even harder when they do. God forbid you do something wrong and mm-hmm. you're not the good person and you didn't like clean up this mess. And you're like, you know, I'm not like apologizing for her because she did sleep with her friend's boyfriend. Close or not, it's wrong. It's yeah. not right. But it's like, I don't know. I think she got a lot more heat for it than him. Now, isn't he like still on the show? I don't watch, but I know that he like is out and about yeah. and doing concerts and whatever. And like, she's
whatever
been
he
MIA.
Does at his concerts. Yeah.
She's been MIA at like treatment center or something. Right. Like she's been like,
yeah.
And it's sad, but also I hate to say this, but also you signed up for the reality TV life. You know what I mean? And I think like,
yep.
So at first I was like, oh, okay, Bethany, that makes sense. Like Bethany's a reality star. Like why wouldn't she interview another reality star? But then when you found out like Bethany didn't necessarily like know all the ins and outs of this whole situation, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This isn't gonna look good, you know? It's mm-hmm. not gonna pay off. I yeah. don't know.
Do but I definitely even care?
No.
What, care about the end result of this whole thing?
Like, I'm so over. I was so excited when that whole thing ended, when they were like, here's the 16th reunion of Vanderpump Rules.
Oh,
I was like,
it's
finally.
Insane. Yeah.
I'm over it. Who the I don't need it anymore. Right. So I was like, oh, here we go. We got another interview. We're going to bring back this whole story. Like, is anything, you know, I think like time heals some wounds maybe. So I guess like yeah. she was able to speak more candid about like the off camera thing, like you were saying, but mm-hmm. I don't fucking know. I'm over it.
Look, they need to move on from this whole thing, and hopefully they all get some sort of brand out of this and they're able to just monetarily benefit, because right now they're just stuck in this like drama and I'm like, get over it. The only other person I think that just like deserves to get some more hate, honestly, is Sandoval, because he's the one that just kind of got away with it, and he like never really feels like he dealt with any of the problems. He was just like, well, back to my concerts.
Yeah, right. Like,
and then that was like, it.
And someone also pointed out, didn't he go on Howie Mandel's podcast, who also didn't watch the show, but he was like, oh, right, a good platform. Like, it's so funny. Like, I don't know how everyone's like, come on here. Here's your tell-all moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Rachel did say she didn't really make any money from this whole scandal, but I think she will eventually. She's going to either do a tell-all book. Like, she's got to turn it around in something. So put all of her energy towards a project. I won't say that because I don't want it to sound mean. Whatever project she puts her time and thought into, I hope that she gets some sort of money out of it, because like, Jesus, she's gone through the mud. And I know what she did was wrong, but not that to that level degree.
She's still like a human at the end of the day. But it's also like, girl, you fucked up. Like, I think if you stay, honestly, I truly think the better move would be just stay out of the light for a little while.
Yeah. Give some
time.
And
live your life and come back with something new. Like you're saying, come back, drop something new. Don't come back into this whole drama again, like relive it again for everyone and like bring it out on a podcast. I don't know. I think, right? It's like, we saw all these talks already. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I know. It truly feels that way. So I'm going to go back and watch a couple clips, because I feel like the only thing I've seen was like the articles. So I need to watch for myself and have like my own thoughts about it. But
I need to watch it too. Maybe that's our homework, guys. Before next week, we will watch it before the podcast next week, because this all happened this morning. And I was like, wait, what? And all the comments.
So fast.
It's so funny, because Bethany's getting some hate for it. You know what I mean? Like,
Bethany.
She probably anticipated this, and I think she has thick skin, but it's like,
yeah.
People are like, hang it up, Bethany. I'm like, Jesus.
Aside from that, though, I will give Bethany props. She's also doing the Be Strong. She's raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for Hawaii.
For Maui. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is incredible. And she, I mean, hopefully all of the proceeds are really, truly going to that, because she's listing everything that they're going to. Aside from that, what else? She's also working on the strike against the reality TV, more rights for reality TV stars. So
woman wears a lot of hats. She got a lot of hats.
And she's also shopping at TJ Maxx and buying fake Manolos. Like, what the and she's also sitting and eating crabs in a hotel room. Like,
and she's also at CVS trying on lip gloss. Okay. She's everywhere.
I swear to God, this woman
is not real.
She's not real. She's on like some other drug like that we don't even know about. It's like above Ozempic. That's like an Adderall Ozempic. Like,
maybe this. Wait, I just thought of a great idea. I can't say it on air because we're going to shoot this idea and Dre is going to love it. I just thought of the best video for us to do. Anyway, you guys, stay tuned for that.
But oh, shit.
I'm not going to tell it on here because I like it too much in my head right now. Okay, wait. I wanted to say, while we're on the subject of a tell-all, essentially.
Yeah.
Hello, we got to talk about this whole Blindside drama just a little bit, okay? Because we were talking about it earlier, and It's shitty, you know, this movie and this story that we were all like so, entertained by. And like, we were like, oh, my God, what a sweet story. We love this, and then Sandra Bullock, America's, hero to me, wins the Oscar for The Blind Side. And now the guy who it's based off of, Michael, how do you say his last name again? Michael Orr is coming out and saying that this was all bullshit, that he was actually not adopted. They put him under a conservatorship, which we can all understand now because of the Britney Spears story, that these people took him in, put him under a conservatorship, blew up his story, right? Made this an Oscar movie, which is his life rights, honestly. And like, and when he was younger, like, did he have a say in any of this? Like, imagine being a young teenager and that I came up to you and I'm like, Dre, hey, I love your story. You want to make, what if we made a movie about you? And you would be like, cool. Like any teenager would.
No, I know. And I think the movie came way later than actually all of it really went down. Like, they took him in for a really long time. They helped him get into the school, helped him get into the football program, get up his grades. So I want to believe that, because that's what the movie portrayed all of this as. But now all these allegations are coming out on both sides. Like, what side are you siding with right now?
I side with him. Honestly, I side with him. I feel like, I don't know. I just think, like, why would he make this up now? Like, I think the timing of it all makes me really just, I believe him. You know what I mean? Like, because I think these parents, it is true. I mean, like you're saying, hopefully this all happened when he was at a certain age. But yeah. Also, like, the fact that they, like, turned their story into the, I don't know. Something feels icky about the parents' side of this. What do you think?
Yeah. When I first read this, I immediately sided with Michael because I've seen the story. I feel like I know the story. I feel like everybody knows the story from the movie. And you wanted to love the parents. But then as these allegations are coming out, he just found out in the beginning of this year that he wasn't actually adopted by the Tuohys. He was served conservatorship papers and he was never really fully legally a part of this family, which is what he thought for all these years of his life. So when I heard that, I immediately was like, oh my God, like that's heart wrenching. He went from homelessness to think he was a part of a family to now not being a part of this family. The Tuohys are saying, no. First of all, we did the conservatorship in order for Michael to be able to be let into this college because he needed, I guess, legal guardians to allow him to be enrolled. So they're also protecting their side. And I don't know. I'm waiting for this to unfold more. He's also got a new book coming out. So people are aligning it with the PR and the.
Yeah.
He wants, you know, some buzz about the book.
Which I'm okay with, you know, because if you were like, oh, look, the guy from The Blind Side wrote a book. We'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. You know, but if it's juicy like this and it has all this information, like, of course, this needs to come out now. I'm OK with that. If he was exploited to have this whole, you know, like dramatic movie written and made about him, then fucking bring him down and sell your book. I don't know. Again, like you're saying, I don't know enough details to truly have a side, but I really do want to side with him because I feel like he is an adult and he can look back on his life now and see how successful that was and what did he get out of it? Probably not much, you know. I read something that his dad like cut him a couple checks after the film or whatever, and you're just like, that's weird. That's so weird when business becomes family. You know what I mean? And I would know, obviously, as a momager, but it's shady. It sounds like it was a shady story, and he's finally seeing it clearly, and he's like, hold on, guys. You told me you adopted me. Actually, you control any income that like comes my way or, you know, any like the show, the movie that we obviously they had to be producers on the film or like sell the story to producers, you know?
Yeah. It's all very interesting. I did look up his net worth because I actually, in my mind, when I heard conservatorship, I was like, oh my God, he's like Britney Spears. He doesn't have any money. Like the Tuohys have all the money. No, he does have a net worth well into the millions of dollars.
Well, those
it's
are
like anywhere from like,
they said I have $1 million dollars and I don't even have an Uber today. You know what I mean? Like they,
and I'm currently taking public transportation. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm currently licking the floor for crumbs, but no, it's true. But I do believe he was in the NFL. Like he's got to have some money like from his own career.
I had thought that because the conservatorship was supposed to end at 25 and it's still ongoing, that I thought they were still some part of his financial dealings. But I realized, no, like he is able to control his money that he has now. But what I'm really wondering, I've heard stories that he's no longer like talking to the family. Like he doesn't go to like Thanksgiving with them every year. Like they're not actually a close knit family anymore as like the movie portrayed. So I just hope
this could have all come out earlier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this could have all happened within the family like years ago. But like you said, his book is coming out. So let's blow it up a little. Like someone's choreographing this to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Our producer, Mike, you know how we always fumble through sports news? I was wondering if Mike has any input because I feel like you might have some good nuggets that we're not adding here.
I mean, I think that overall, the story is interesting. I don't know how you guys feel, but anytime I did not like the Blind Side movie, and part of it was because anytime I watched it, I was like, there's no way this is how this happened.
Yeah.
And now it kind of seems like that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much money he made in the NFL, to be honest. He was not in the NFL for very long. He had kind of like a standard, usually in the NFL, you get, when you're a rookie, you get like a 5-year contract. And then on the fifth year, basically that is when, if you're good, you kind of go to the to free agency and you make your money. Mm-hmm. And I think he got cut by the team that he got drafted by, which I believe was Baltimore. And he had some injury problems. I don't think he – I have a feeling he didn't make a ton of money in the NFL. But regardless, even if he was trying to sell a book, I just think that like putting yourself in the shoes of this guy who – now forever will be remembered as the blindside guy.
And not making money off the blindside. Yeah.
Right. Especially if you feel like the depiction of the movie is like completely false to what actually happened. Like your legacy now is like you're this person in this position where like, you know, the criticism of that movie in the first place was kind of like a white savior sort of thing. And it didn't even happen like that. And you're not making money off of it. Like you're just kind of, I would want the story set straight if it was me, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter when he comes out with it. And like if he's trying to make money off the book, whatever. It's like at some point that story is going to come out. And it's like, what difference does it make if it comes out now or if it came out then? It's kind of surprising that it didn't come out then. But it's like, you know, if the story, if a story about you was made into a movie and it wasn't true, wouldn't you be pissed?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
You know,
although people are saying people are coming for Sandra Bullock right now, right? All the I read a lot of well, people like, today who are like,
where's Sandra?
Give back the Oscar if the story isn't true, which I think is bullshit. That's, she deserves her Oscar. Yeah. She's Sandra fucking Bullock. She obviously had, if she had nothing to do with that, she had no idea. Yeah. I'm sure.
For sure.
Regardless of the movie and how closely aligned it was with the actual story, Sandra still acted. She just still deserves the Oscar because she still played a character. So I think that's two separate conversations, right?
Absolutely. And she's grieving right now. That's why she's not speaking out. Like this is like, I know. Like she, this isn't, she has bigger fish to fry, as they say.
She shouldn't have to make a statement. It's like she was handed a script. It sounded like everybody that was involved at the time were like, this is how it happened and this is good with us. So it's like, why would you have to make a comment on something that really had pretty much nothing to do with you in terms of concept 10 years or however many years it's been after the fact? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Anywho, thanks so much.
Bye, guys. Thank you, producer Mike. Birthday, August 30th. Don't forget.
Don't forget, guys. Don't forget Virgo. Virgo and Mike.
I was going to say somebody commented because I made a post about The Blind Side and they go, you know, the main problem that I have about this movie, not me, but the person was like that they casted Tim McGraw for Mr. Tui. It's an abomination. He looks nothing like the father. Oh, my God. And I thought that was hilarious.
My God. I love that that's their issue. I'm like, there are bigger issues, dude. That's your fucking issue. Okay. Yeah.
It was a funny take because, you know, Hollywood always, you got to glitz and glam up the characters, obviously.
Absolutely. Wait, speaking of, this is a wonderful transition into a hot takes moment that I wanted to do today.
Hot take, hot take. You may not agree, but you best believe it's my hot take.
Because if there, we've heard about this and now the photos, I don't know if a trailer came out, but the photos, at least the still photos have come out. Has a trailer come out for the Leonard Bernstein movie? A famous composer, famous, you know, writer, and Bradley Cooper is making this movie, and he's also starring in it, which I believe he did for what's it called with Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born, right? He was also.
I just want to take another look at you. Yeah, A Star Is Born. Did he?
I can do that whole solo, by the way. I sang it on the way to the airport the other day. You didn't know where I was going.
What the fuck? Wait, you sang that on the way to the airport in your Uber?
No, in my car. I drove my mom's car to get myself to the airport yesterday because Jared had to do work in the car and he came with me. Anyway, it was beautiful. It was pouring rain, actually, all through New Jersey. And I'm singing, I'm off the deep end. It was cathartic. Okay. So anyway, the photos have come out of Bradley Cooper playing Leonard Bernstein. And what do you know? Famous Jew. And they gave him a Jew face nose. And I, as a Jewish person, I hate this. I hate this. You don't have to do it. You know what I mean? Did they give anybody in The Blind Side? Did they give Sandra Bullock a new face to play that mom? No, I think prosthetics are okay to a degree. Like, I think like, I'll say this, in the Elvis movie, okay? I'll say this. He looked crazy, but
Elvis kind of have those cheeks. Yeah.
He gained the weight at the end of his life, unfortunately. And so they made Elvis, you know, they made Austin Butler like look like Elvis. But I think when it is a choice that you're making to show someone's ethnicity or, you know, their Judaism, I will just say in this case, you don't need to put a nose on Bradley Cooper. Honestly, he's not Jewish, so already it's a little weird that he's playing this character if that is, I think, a part of the storyline. However, I think he would get a pass because he's Bradley Cooper, he's producing the movie. I think he'd get a pass for playing it if he does it well. But the fact that they put the fucking nose on, listen to me going off. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this is my question.
The nose bothered you. I did not hear about the story. And I think it's an interesting story to discuss because, yeah, we've seen a lot of cultural appropriation. You know, somebody, if the storyline is about somebody who is from a certain cultural background, they should just hire that type of, you know.
In 2023, yes.
In 2023, we've come this far. Yeah, let's not typecast. Let's not hire somebody who's clearly not from that background when there's a million available people willing to do that role. So yeah, I, looking at the side by sides, I definitely don't think the nose was necessary. Okay. He did not really have that type of nose. So it's kind of causing a little bit of an issue. You mentioned somebody that would have been perfect for the role.
Oh, I said Adrian Brody, but I think Bradley Cooper can play it. That's my issue is I don't think this means like only Mexican people can play Mexican roles. Only Jewish people can play Jewish roles. I don't think that. I think if you're an actor, you're versatile and you can do different things. I think that's we've come to this place where we're living in a very sensitive world right now. And I think if your storyline and culturally, if this movie is about, you know, your background in that way, it does feel like it doesn't feel right. Like for me, that movie, what was the Steven Spielberg movie that came out last year, you know, that was in the Oscars about his life, like as a kid, and Michelle Williams played the mom. I feel like we even talked about that. The Fabelmans. Thank you so much. The Fabelmans. Like I felt icky watching The Fabelmans because I thought Michelle Williams, even though here's the thing, she can do it. Steven Spielberg cast her. He put her in that role. It felt like she was playing a caricature of a Jewish mother. Like it felt like a fake Jewish mother. It was like Jewish mother on speed. Like it was too much. And I thought it was not realistic. And I think part of that is you didn't grow up with a Jewish mother or you didn't necessarily, that wasn't like your upbringing. You know what I mean? And like you would say the same thing if you saw her playing someone, right? Of like in your dad's family, like you would be like, yeah, you know,
you can tell it's not very accurate.
So I don't know. The nose though, I think is just like, It turns it into a bigger conversation than it even needed to be.
I think so too. Do we want to do some hot takes on our characters, what they would feel about this? Because
I do.
They got some hot takes.
I do. Who should we do? Who do you want me to do?
You have got to do, well, before we even started, it would have been great as Joan Rivers, but no, I'm taking that back because I always ask you to do Joan Rivers.
She's a good one, honey. She's a good one.
Oh my God. I have to tell you something on the podcast. Wait, after we do the hot takes, I have to tell you something. It's a big wig moment that happened to me this week. Okay.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. But you know what? It's because I'm always thinking Joan Rivers is so good at doing like comments on looks, but we need to hear from SAG-AFTRA president. We need to hear from the nanny herself. Yes.
It's Miss Fran.
Miss Fran. I'm sorry, Miss Fran.
It's me, Fran Drescher, your national president. You know, it's been busy out here on the picket lines. And, you know, I don't really have time for any of this kind of drama.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I mean, you're just taking it day by day with the strikes.
Day,
so
day by day. Yeah, we're out here in the strike. You know, it's really nice. Everybody's been showing up to the lines and it's been great. And the AMPTP can suck my big dick, but
absolutely. Yeah. You stick it to them, Fran.
That's how I feel. Until we come to an agreement, I'm going to tell them that they can just suck it. But, you know, we'll see. You know, they're talking to the writers, they're talking to the WGA. So we'll see if SAG can follow suit. But yeah, I saw these photos of Bradley Cooper and I thought, absolutely not. I mean, you know, Leonard Bernstein is a legend and he's a good looking man. Why do we stick these big prosthetic nose on Bradley Cooper, who's also a good-looking man? But, you know, you can change his hair color.
Right.
But I think the nose is a little over the top, and I like over the top usually, okay? I don't know if you saw.
You usually do. Yes.
I love, yeah. Have you ever seen The Nanny? Over the top, doll. Oh, I said doll. Over the top. I just don't think it's necessary for him to have the nose.
I was going to say, we've seen a lot of prosthetics recently, especially movies like The Whale. Did you think that those prosthetics were necessary?
The Whale. Well, kind of says it in the title. Yeah. I mean, I think it was the story of a bigger man. I'll say this about The Whale. If he, you know, if he was a heavier set guy, like, you know, if we got a real actor who's heavier set, he might not have been able to handle the shoot. And that's something we're actually working on with the SAG-AFTRA, you know, policies and what we're working on with the AMPTP, you know, is health insurance. So I guess if we got a real guy who was that size, you know, it might have been dangerous. And with we don't have those kinds of clauses ready to go. So we'll see.
We don't. And that was beautifully put. You connected it right back to the SAG after strikes, which I really appreciated, Fran.
Thank you. Yeah, we're supporting.
Thank you.
You can order a t-shirt now online. It all goes to the Actors Fund.
Very good. We can get those t-shirts. I still need to get my t-shirt. So that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Amazing, Fran.
Any Jew will say, why'd you give him the nose? Who needs a nose?
Why do we give him a nose?
You know what, though? What I do love about the Jews is we have two things we can joke with you guys about. Money and the nose. But I'd rather joke about the money.
But you can't.
Those are the two things I'd say they don't want to joke about.
Yeah, they don't. But you guys can at least say that you're good with money. Like, it's not really a joke. We're actually giving you kudos for being, good with the money. You're savers. You're penny pinches.
I don't know if I'm not representing us well then. Wait, I saw an improv show and literally they had to do like some sort of like the fact that I even said I saw an improv show, but they literally had to do some sort of exercise where it was like charades almost. And
okay.
Barbara Streisand was the like person they were trying to like get the other person to guess. And the guy literally walked out and went like this. The first thing he did was nose.
What?
And that felt wrong. That felt so. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's like some people's only image of Jew. So I think that's why Jewish people. Yes. Can we joke about a nose? Do I want a nose job in my life? Absolutely. I'm going to fix everything. But I think that like other people then think it's OK. And you're like, no.
That's a disaster. That's also the last thing I would think about Barbara with 100%. Yeah. Like, absolutely not. So that's crazy.
Wait, I want a hot take from you. I wanted to hear Kristen. Do you want to have a hot take on something else?
No. I was trying to save time because I thought we had to talk about like, you know, one other thing. I really wanted to get into Roni and just mention one thing about Tribeca because I thought it was the funniest thing. So I was trying to do us time and to save the time. We caught up with Roni real quick and we thought it was both hilarious. The Tribeca comment that Jessel made to Aaron and
to
we need to
Jessel. Yeah.
Yeah.
We save need to comment about how, what she said.
She said that, oh my God, you know, like a lot of my friends are moving to Tribeca. It's just like such an up and coming neighborhood. And Aaron's like, Tribeca's not up and coming. Like it's there. It's
like
been
the OG.
There. It's always yeah.
Cool neighborhood.
Right. And then I did love how Aaron was like, I mean, it's like one of the most expensive areas to live. I'm not saying that because I live here. I'm just saying that because it is like it's fully established, which I thought was an interesting take on Tribeca, because I know a couple people that live there and they're like, yeah, it's a little bit of an what kind of crowd would you say that Tribeca is? It's definitely not up and coming by any means.
No, I think it's rich, young, hip people who don't need like to flash their money necessarily. Like I think it's like a little more tasteful. Yes, movie stars.
Yeah,
celebrities. Movie stars. Absolutely. But I thought that was so funny. I was like, is Jessel like in like a new intern in New York City? Like, also, where does she live? Because that's what I didn't know. Where does she live where she's judging Tribeca as an up and coming area? Does she live uptown? Because I'll say, honey.
Honey.
No.
No, I thought she lived in... Yeah, her apartment looks massive, by the way. Hold on, let me look up where Jessel lives because it's very interesting what she would say about that about Tribeca. Yeah, I know. I know. She bothers me too. But then I listened to somebody's podcast, shout out Samantha Bush, and she said that Jessel is so clueless that it makes it enjoyable to watch.
Clueless is a good word. Yes. She really
is. But like in a fun way. Yeah.
But also, because the best was that whole meeting. I don't know if you guys watched the episode, but they meet at a coffee shop, right, where Jessel says this. And Jessel called the meeting, right? She wanted the meeting to happen. And so, and then she goes on her like, you know, her talking head or whatever. And she was like, I just wanted us to like catch up and become friends and like hang out. And it was like, no, you didn't. You wanted to like tell Aaron, like, what the fuck? Why did you question if I work or not? Like, it was like such a, it was like an interrogation almost. I don't know. It was weird. Also, can I say the funniest part of that scene that no one's talking about on any of the like blogs or Instagrams that I follow? Yes. When she dealt with the server, I don't know if you remember this, when she was like, so she's there first, Jessel's there first, and she orders her coffee. Do you remember this? And she's like, can I have an Americano? She goes, can I have an Americano with an extra shot? And then can I have, do you have oat milk? Or what is it? Oat milk on the side. With oat milk. And then she doesn't trust that the server. It's very obvious, okay? And I worked in restaurants and rich people will do this. She doesn't, I'll even do this. I'm not rich, but I'll do this when I don't trust that they got my order right. When they bring it over, she like repeats the order. She was like, they brought the coffee over and Aaron's there and hasn't ordered yet. And the server's like, here you go. And she's like, yes, this is an Americano with an extra shot and oat milk. And
she like, has to check it herself with, she has to like double check. Like, that's what this, okay. Let me just repeat my order. So you know, and I know that that's what this is.
Yeah. And the server's standing there just straight up like, am I on TV? Like, what the fuck?
Mind you, this order is not a chemistry equation. It's a simple Americano with different milk. Like she was like, this is my own little special cocktail.
Yes.
No, it ain't. It's an Americano with oat milk. What? But I do love her just like little playful like da da da. I don't know what's going on. It's funny. It's funny to me. By the way, she lives
Tribeca,
in Chelsea.
By the way,
she lives in Chelsea.
I'm sorry.
She lives in Chelsea.
And you're ripping on Tribeca? Girl. Tribeca is a glow up from Chelsea, in my opinion, in terms of real estate.
I think so too. Which I think Aaron was kind of getting at. But I also think that Jessel just doesn't sometimes know really what the appropriate thing to say is. So she won't really. She'll just say whatever and not mean it in by any means a offending manner. She's just trying to start a conversation, but she doesn't know how to. So she's like, oh, yeah, Tribeca, this is really like up and coming. Like, it's cool. And Aaron's like, no, bitch, it ain't. Because Aaron's
also with,
born
that
and raised
with the
in New
memorial,
York.
With the, when she was like, how is your memorial? And
yeah, that
Aaron's
was,
like,
that, oh,
it was
oh.
sad. She's like, it was bad. It was a bad day.
Jess was like, well, you know what? I really had no idea about it. So I'm really sorry that, anyways, I hope that it was okay. And in moving on, and then she goes right on over and changes the conversation. That,
so funny.
Oh my God, that was tough. That was tough. Yeah.
I will say I enjoy hearing them all talk about, like, I like that they're going on podcasts and when they go on Andy Cohen, Watch What Happens Live, like, I like hearing them talk about how they don't even know certain things about the other people or like, you know, these scenes play out and then like they'll see it happen live when we see it happen, like, you know, about the other people. And it's just so funny. What did she call them? Gaggling hags or something?
Cackling hags.
And they're all like, fuck you, bitch. And she's like, no, that's like saying, she said, what did she say? She goes, that's like saying hello where I'm from. I'm like,
like, literally. How funny that to me, I wanted to name our podcast that last week, but I was like, oh shit, we didn't talk about it. But that was the funniest thing. Like, if somebody called me a cackling hag, I'd be like, where are you from? Clearly
Who?
Not here.
Who?
Yeah. But it's a funny way. I would never get offended by that, though. I would never get offended by that. But
I
don't know.
I feel so proud of myself for watching this show because I've never watched any Housewives. And I'm more proud of myself for like keeping up and watching it than I am like graduating college. Like, I feel like I'm like doing it, you know? I'm like really living my life right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a stretch. You know what? I feel included, though. If anyone brings up Roni, it's like we know exactly what we're talking about.
We do. I do.
It feels good. Yeah, it's
we haven't whipped out any impressions yet, although I have one on the back burner. I have.
This is so good. Who are you working on right now from the Roni?
I have gathered the props. Do you want me to tell you? Are you working on one of them? Because we need to do them.
Oh, we need to do them. Yeah, I'm working on one of them. And then depending on yours, we need at least two each so we can do a full like 4-person cast.
I'm going to do Jenna. I'm going to drop my Jenna.
You have to do Jenna.
I've been working on my Jenna, actually. She's very soft spoken and she really loves Christmas and she loves wearing her shirts just fully open and her boobs. She doesn't have boobs, but.
but she talks about how open her shirts are. I'm working on Jessel because I think that, and I hope nobody thinks that I'm doing wrong because I'm not from her culture, but I do think that because she has a mixed background, like I can still do Jessel.
I think it's okay.
I think it'll work.
I give you a blessing.
Thank you.
She's just and, so clueless. It's like, hello.
Yeah. And I want to do, to match my Jessel, I was hoping to do an Aaron, but I also think you could do a killer Aaron.
I really want to do an Aaron. That was the other one I want to do because she's the Jewish Israeli girl.
It's so easy. Like, I feel like you would nail it. You kind of have that, like, the hair look, like, you have the look. So I think it'd be great. And then I really want to do Psy, but that's also, I'm worried because it's not my background. But the way that she says round the way girl is just so funny and talks about her background. I feel like that's great.
Psy is growing on me, honestly. At first, they really painted her to be like, I'm a content creator. What can I say? I'm an influencer. I'm so annoying, right? I'm an influencer. Ah. And now I actually really loved seeing her with her team. I was like, oh,
yeah,
they have a cool relationship. I'm like, I'm down more with her. I don't know. She's growing on me, I should say.
I really don't have anything bad to say about anybody because I know I've been hearing a lot of podcasts talk about these women poorly, but I'm like, we don't even know them yet. Like, let's give some time to like really get to know them. I think Bryn Whitfield is hysterical.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's got these one-liners that I'm like, I'm dying every single time. And I just think she's so funny and bubbly. So everybody's like, Bryn is so annoying. No, I don't get that at all. I think I'm enjoying watching all these women. The one person that's just a little dry for me is Jenna. And that's okay because she's an actual like high up exec. Like I totally get it. So she's just a little bland, you know, when she's like, I've got to go to bed. I have a 6:30 a.m. meeting. Like, I don't want to chill. I'm not a girl's girl. I kind of like my solitude. To me, I'm like, oh, my God, we're not going to get any fun stuff out of her.
So hard when she was like, I'm actually going to go to my own Hamptons house. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm going to just sneak out. I'm just going to back out of the room here. I'm just going to go. Yeah.
Loved it. I was like, yeah, girl. I like that she knows what she wants. The only thing is we're not going to get very good, interesting, funny, hilarious content from that, you know, because we like these women to get a little messy. That's
I love
the whole
Uba.
Point.
Honestly, I think she's the most like relatable and fun and sweet. Like I like her. She can go in any scene. You know what I mean? She's like the versatile one, I think. Right.
Absolutely. And I can't believe we're save the best for last. She really is just a fresh breath of air. She is everything. What would you say? She lightens up any hard situation. Like whenever anybody was getting in a fight, she'd be like, please speak English. English is my fourth language. Like, please make sense. Like, she just lightens everything up. I love Uba.
She's
love
got
her.
Good timing and yeah. she seems like just a good person to have in the mix. Like, I'm like, oh, everyone can be Uba's friend in a way.
I completely agree. And thank you for having that Roni talk with me. I really had to talk to somebody about it because I haven't.
We could do Roni moment. We could do a Roni hour if we want. You know what I mean?
Roni baloney. Let's do like a Roni after, like a Roni after show.
A bonus episode.
If you will, a bonus episode. Anna, that's a beautiful idea.
Like a crappy lake, but a Roni. We got to catch up on crappy lake. Yeah. By the way, sorry.
Okay, when Anna, we're gonna do some episodes tonight, which is yesterday for you guys, and those will be out this week. So if you've been keeping up with Crappy, your episodes recaps are coming out. Thank you guys.
Creeping up on Crappy, creeping on Crappy Lake.
I can't.
Oh my God, I love it. I hope they get a season 2. Honestly, I really, really do.
Me too. But in another town. I'm sorry, but I'm tired of Benton.
We're over Benton.
I'm over it. I feel like I know everybody in the town.
I want to end. Can I end the podcast? I know we're over time. It's a long one today, but can I end on a big wig moment that happened this week that I think you'll really appreciate?
Yes. I mean, I was dying to know what you thought of.
I texted you. I got a DM. It all happens in the DMs. I got a DM from the one and only Melissa Rivers.
Woo! And
I know, after my show, because I had photos taken at my show and I posted a photo of me in my Joan outfit. And, you know, I've tagged her in some videos before, but I know people who know her, I think. Like, we have friends in common. Friends, you know what I mean? People who, whatever. And she DM'd me and she was so fucking sweet, which is just like, makes you feel, you know, Joan was an iconic comedian and then she passed away suddenly. It was tragic. It was like, you know, it was like one day she was gone and it was really sad and awful. And so like, I always felt a little weird about doing her because like of her passing and stuff. But
yeah,
she also, I think, is like someone to be celebrated all the time because she's so fucking quick and funny and witty. And
totally.
Melissa Rivers was like, oh my God, I love your, she said, I love your videos. She said the Met Gala one had me LOL. Like, and I was like, oh my God. And then she said, and the wig is great, which also you get props on the wig. I'm like, oh my God, let me go brush this wig now. It's got to look good if I ever bring it out again. And
right.
On top of that, I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm like, this means so much. Like, this is so sweet. And like, I really want you to know how much this, like, I appreciate that. You know, I make dumb videos and like for you to say this about your mother, your late mother. And then she was like, my mom loved Joe's Pub. And I was like, oh, she's got good taste. You know, it's a good venue.
That's amazing. Even the location you did the show, by the, that Joan picture you took, it's my, one of my favorites of like, it's so cool with the lights behind you, the glam lights. That's so special. That is
Thanks. And her
daughter, Melissa, she's so, doesn't she continue on the Joan legacy? Like, she runs her Instagram account.
Oh, yeah. Well, she like, yeah. I mean, she has her own podcast. She's crushing it. Yeah. She's got a lot of stuff going on. But I just was like, it felt really good. You know how it feels when you get that seal of approval almost, which is why we're still out here waiting for Courtney and Chris to just knock on our DM. I really thought like,
Any day now.
Anyway, I just wanted to end that. That was a big wig moment for me this week. I thought it was really cool. And
huge.
You know, you got to celebrate the little wins, especially when life is shitty. And my life is shitty right now. So I'm going to take that. And this moment was really, this episode was great for me. And I love you all. And interact with us on Instagram because I posted a little something there. So go check our Instagram.
Totally. We need to respond to those impressions requests. And we got to work on our Roni impressions. So that's our homework this week.
I think it's going to happen this week. I think we have to drop at least one. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I love you. And I love all you bigwigs. And this was a wonderful episode. Thank you very much for supporting SAG-AFTRA. That's all I got.
The strike is still going on, if you guys didn't know. So that's another thing that's always a developing storyline. But thank you, guys. We love you. Be a bigwig this week. And we will be posting some clips. So wait for that. Dre's got to get on her shit. Dre, meaning
Anna's
me.
Anna's got to get on her shit, too. See you soon. Bye.